T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz Podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Lindsay Lohan, in a TV ad, advocates office tea breaks. The Suez shipping disruptions intensify, and botanists identify the cause of tea leaf droopiness. Plus, revitalizing Kumon. In the Himalayas of northern India, Kumon Tea has opened its first farmer-owned and managed factory in a trailblazing partnership with U.S.-based Young Mountain Tea. The region was one of the earliest to be planted by the British in the 1860s. A century ago, these high mountain estates were abandoned and the formerly productive tea fields lay fallow until an enterprising young entrepreneur marshaled the resources of the U.S.-based Frontier Co-op and USAID's Cooperative Development Program to benefit hundreds of tea smallholders. Joining us today is Raj Vaibhav, founder of Young Mountain Tea in Marquette, Michigan, who inspired the villagers of Kumon to create a new era of economic resiliency and autonomy. The solar-powered factory with state-of-the-art equipment will process regeneratively grown certified organic tea in four styles available in retail locations by November. Vaibhav writes, quote, "We hope our model serves as a blueprint that can be replicated and improved upon so we can all collectively raise the bar on transparent sourcing, regenerative agriculture, and smallholder farmer equity. Learn more later in this episode. More in a minute, but first this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia tea estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Actress and producer Lindsay Lohan appears in a new television commercial and social media campaign urging tea drinkers to take a break at work. The commercial, financed by the Pepsi Lipton Tea Partnership, features Pure Leaf, the top-selling ready-to-drink tea brand in the U.S. The Minute Plus spot is the first national multi-million dollar tea advertising campaign since the pandemic. The Pure Leaf brand also launched a U.S.-only coupon giveaway of a free bottle to enjoy on workers' next tea break. Text 737-377-3774 between June 27th and July 25th to receive a bottle, or visit pureleaf.com/teabreak. In the commercial, Lohan, who has starred in several Netflix original films in the past few years, and is currently filming Freaky Friday 2 with Jamie Lee Curtis, asks, quote, "When was the last time you took a break? I mean a real break. It's like we forgot breaks even exist." Standing on an office coffee table, she shouts, quote, "It's time for a tea break. We all deserve a moment to recharge and revitalize ourselves." Soon, the office staff is headed out the door, chanting, tea break, and chugging Pure Leaf. Edelman made the humorous 90-second spot, supported by research that reveals, quote, 3 in 5 workers struggle to take tea breaks during the workday, and more than half of workers feel too busy or interrupted by work to take a refreshing break. Nearly 2/3 of the 1,010 full-time workers surveyed feel mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted. However, 63% of workers surveyed noted that when they take quality breaks, they return recharged for what's next. Pureleaf sales exceeded $985 million in mass market and convenience outlets in 2023, compared to competitors Arizona, $956 million, and Lipton's $561 million. Globally, the RTD market is forecast to increase by $27.7 billion, a 25% growth rate from 2024, to an estimated $138 billion in 2028. An accompanying press release explains, quote, "The Pureleaf Tea Break campaign encourages workers to challenge today's hustle culture with a centuries-old workplace ritual, a quality tea break. And the first bottle is Pureleaf tea." Lindsay said, quote, "We owe it to ourselves to take a moment each day to pause, recharge, and revitalize. I'm proud to partner with Pureleaf to promote the importance of taking a daily tea break, because no matter what you do, we all deserve the time to reset and refresh. For me, prioritizing breaks is essential for all the roles I juggle, allowing me to return stronger and more restored," end quote. Pureleaf and Mindshare partners are providing tips for making the most of work breaks and posting examples of away on break messages online. Quote, "To support the cultural shift towards better breaks at an organizational level, Pureleaf is also launching the Pureleaf Tea Break Grant Program in partnership with Mindshare Partners. This initiative will provide funding for small businesses and nonprofits to implement break initiatives aimed at promoting employee revitalization," end quote, according to the release. Julie Rahan-Pierre, General Manager and Vice President of Pepsi Lipton Partnership North America, says, quote, "At Pureleaf, we are intentional about how we craft our delicious real brewed iced teas so you can feel refreshed and revitalized. We know many people are not taking enough quality breaks during the workday, so we're launching the Pureleaf Tea Break to remind people that a moment to reset is very important. Revitalization is just a sip away with our delicious iced teas from a few high-quality, simple ingredients and naturally occurring caffeine from our tea leaves," end quote. The Red Sea skirmishes, a significant factor in the ongoing shipping crisis, have increased sinkings, indicating that the crisis is far from over. A surge in global freight rates reaching over $4,200 per 40-foot container in May 2024, the highest on record, has put a significant financial strain on tea exports and other goods since October 2023. Tea exports are currently at their peak following the spring harvest. India's peak is from April through June, Sri Lanka's is from May through August, and Kenya's is from January to June. Demand for tea in Europe is slack, which has helped avoid a serious shortage of tea imports, but the added cost of landing tea from Africa, South Asia, and the Far East cannot be ignored. One German-based retailer told TBiz that they are shipping tea by rail from China, which is faster and cheaper than shipping tea around Africa. Since the beginning of the year, the Drewry Composite Container Index has averaged $3,579 per 40-foot container. That's $831 higher than the 10-year average. Containers are in short supply and out of place because the ships are not transporting empties. The cost of shipping tea from China to the U.S. ports has also increased by 69% from April through May. The Houthis have launched 50 missile and drone attacks since October, killing four. In the latest, the Yemen-based Iran-backed militants used explosive-laden drone boats to slow or disable large vessels that are then targeted by ballistic missiles. A so-called double tap on June 19th destroyed the MV Tudor, a bulk carrier. Two more successful missile attacks followed, disabling another bulk carrier. The Houthis sank their first ship in March. Fuel and insurance costs have also increased due to higher risk and because ships spend more days at sea. Lloyd's of London reports a 1.1 billion British pound expense associated with underwriting unrecoverable planes and cargo in Ukraine since the onset of the war. Only 4% of war claims have been processed. Egyptian authorities say revenue plummeted by several hundred million dollars due to the Red Sea skirmishes. According to Egypt's Minister of Finance, traffic through the Suez Canal declined by 64% in May, lowering revenue to $334 million, more than 50% lower year over year. Losses in late 2023 amounted to $150 million. Only 1,111 ships have traversed the canal in May, compared to 2,390 ships in May 2023. Tonnage is down 68% to 45 million tons. About 15% of trade by volume normally transits the canal annually. The canal is the shortest maritime route between Europe and Asia. According to the International Monetary Fund, ship traffic transiting the Cape of Good Hope has surged 74% above 2023 levels, a drought that limits the capacity of ships transiting the Panama Canal, where trade volume is down 32% compared to 2023, further complicates the situation for shippers. Researchers at the Tea Research Institute of the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences report finding a gene that could transform the tea industry's approach to mechanical harvesting. An estimated 70% of the world's tea is now sheared or mechanically plucked, but in most instances, the leaves gathered are damaged, yielding a relatively small percentage of, quote, perfectly plucked two leaves and a bud. Instead of snipping whole leaves at their base, leaves on stems that bend or droop are cut into smaller pieces that are later discarded during the sorting process. The study identified the CSEXL3 gene and gene regulator CSBES1.2 as the source of weak stems. Their findings, first published in the peer-reviewed journal Horticulture Research, could improve harvesting by minimizing leaf damage, leading to better tasting tea. Planters turn to mechanical harvesters to reduce labor expense and improve efficiency by increasing the number of rounds while lowering costs per round. One of the lead researchers, Dr. Xidan Chen, writes that the discovery of the gene and its regulatory pathway, quote, offers a promising genetic target for breeding tea plants better suited for mechanical harvesting, potentially revolutionizing the tea industry. End quote. Business Insight. In 1952, agronomist Norman Borlaug learned of the sturdy stems of dwarf wheat in Japan. For his experiments, he obtained seeds with a stem-strengthening gene. Working with a USDA plant breeder at Washington State University, he developed disease-resistant plants that yielded more wheat per acre than any known cultivar. The wheat was first planted in Mexico, and by 1956, Mexico was producing enough wheat to be self-sufficient. Borlaug's cultivars, which produced 14 times more wheat than previous cultivars, were introduced worldwide, averting famine and saving an estimated 1 billion lives, including several million people in India's Great Famine. Borlaug would earn a Nobel Prize and become known as the father of the Green Revolution. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 5th July 2024. The two meetings this week in Darjeeling One was in Siliguri, led by the Nepal Consul General Ishwar Braj Podel, who met with representatives of the tea trade, which included Indian customs officials and Nepal tea exporters, calling Siliguri a city that links Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, and India's northeastern states, a major market for Nepal. He said the session was part of the country's efforts to find a solution to the current crisis. He is, of course, referring to the concerns with tea trade from between Nepal and India. The trade agreement between the two countries allows Nepal exemption from duty for tea. However, Darjeeling's tea producers have been saying that unregulated imports from Nepal and unscrupulous blending of Nepal tea with Darjeeling has diluted the Darjeeling tea brand and impacted the prices negatively. Recently, they called for greater testing of Nepal tea for pesticide residue. The Nepali delegation broached the subject. Speaking at the session was also Suresh Mittal, ex-president of the Nepal Tea Planters Association, pointed to statements made in the Indian media where Nepal tea has been referred to as cheap and substandard, and asked why then it was being labeled as Darjeeling tea. The delegation said that they don't want the tea to be labeled as Darjeeling and would like the tea to be sold as Nepal tea. India currently imports 16 million kilos of tea from Nepal each year, of which about half is orthodox. The second meeting, also held this week, was by Santosh Kumar Sarangi, Director General of Foreign Trade, who spoke at the Federation of Indian Export Organization in Calcutta. Here he said there cannot be a ban on the import of tea from Nepal, and what he has called for is a stop to the mixing of Nepal tea with Darjeeling tea. In other news, it's about weather. Assam is seeing very, very heavy rains this week. Upper Assam, which includes the tea-producing regions of Jorhat, Tinsukia, and Dibrugarh, has been seeing above normal rainfall, and this is expected to continue for the rest of the week. The Brahmaputra River, a lifeline here and the reason for the soil fertility, has risen to above dangerous levels, and at least 12 fishermen were airlifted to safety this week. And Kaziranga, which is home to one-horned rhino, the animals have begun to migrate from here because of the heavy rain. However, in North India, in Kangra, there's been a dry spell for the last 6 months. May and June were especially dry, and yield was low with a decline of 30 to 60% compared with last year's. Climate change continues to play havoc for tea planters across the country.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
In the Himalayas of northern India, Kumon Tea has opened its first farmer-owned and managed factory in a trailblazing partnership with U.S.-based Young Mountain Tea. The region was one of the earliest to be planted by the British in the 1860s. A century ago, these high mountain estates were abandoned, and the formerly productive tea fields lay fallow until an enterprising young entrepreneur marshaled the U.S.-based Frontier Co-op and USAID's Cooperative Development Program resources to benefit hundreds of tea smallholders. Joining us today is Raj Vaibhav, founder of Young Mountain Tea in Marquette, Michigan, who inspired the villagers of Kumon to create a new era of economic resiliency and autonomy. The solar-powered factory with state-of-the-art equipment will process regeneratively grown certified organic tea and four styles available in retail locations by November. Vaibhav writes, quote, "We hope our model serves as a blueprint that can be replicated and improved upon so we can all collectively raise the bar on transparent sourcing, regenerative agriculture, and smallholder farmer equity. End quote. Raj founded Young Mountain in 2013 as a social enterprise to provide a sustainable future for farmers, 90% of whom are women. He graduated from the University of Michigan and later earned an MS in environmental science from the University of Oregon. He first traveled to Kuman as a global partner with Avani, spending a year developing a permaculture tea cultivation program involving 300 farmers. He was named a Fulbright Nehru Scholar in 2013 and worked in Almora, India, before returning to the U.S. as a rural venture catalyst in Oregon's Regional Accelerator Innovation Network. Let's start with a very tangible thing, the factory. But at the heart of our discussion is empowering an individual to, in this case, be part of a collective group that owns a factory and makes world-class tea, rethinking that a person in the rural environment should act and be rewarded as a rural entrepreneur.
That's right. Yes.
The folks I've seen in these roles are brilliant. They may not have Wall Street credentials, but they are responsible, enterprising, and efficient, often raising 5 crops, managing the financial and physical factories, and enhancing the social environment to meet their children's health and educational needs. You must be proud to enable that, Raj. You're making it happen, and in my view, it has to go that way for the industry to thrive.
Yeah, well, thank you for all of that, and it sounds great. What you're saying, those underlying things around empowerment and rural entrepreneurship as a different way to view a farmer, that is very much why I'm doing this work. Let's go through the tactical stuff of setting up factories, but I'm looking forward to that part of the conversation.
The factories in these villages are more than physical structures. They're a source of income and pride. Factories are also a marketing identity, a location to anchor their brand, and a place to associate with Kumon's unique terroir.
The reason to set up this factory is the same reason that I started the company, which is to figure out a way for rural communities in the Himalayas to continue to thrive as they have for centuries, as opposed to just fighting for their own survival, which is what they're doing now. And so in my view, if we don't figure out how to support farmers, then we are actually undermining our own future, because we depend on the work of a farmer 3 times a day, every single day, every single time we eat. So if their livelihoods are not working for them, then we as consumers of food don't have much of a future either. So I don't see the work of working with farmers separate from my own survival. And that's why we need to set up this factory, to make sure that we're creating pathways for farmers to earn enough to actually support themselves. Not just in tea, in other foods products as well, but tea is the one, of course, that we as a tea company care the most about.
So what makes tea unique in this region?
The quality of Kumaon teas is tied to a handful of factors. The first is the growing conditions for the tea plant. The British planted tea here first, as I mentioned, in the 1860s. And Sarah Rose, in her book, For All the Tea in China, identified how the first ever Indian-grown tea to get drunk in Europe came by right by the same area. It's technically not Kumaon, but it's right adjacent to it. So there's a very rich and storied history to the tea plant doing well in these soils. And today what exists on the cultivar level is a direct lineage of those initial plantings. A number of the plants growing in our primary partner Desmond's Tea Garden are original China bush planting from seed from the 1860s. So these are teas that are coming on 160 years old and still flushing well. So the quality, you know, in Darjeeling, I was taught, they say old is gold. So the older the tea plant, perhaps the lower the yield, but the quality and the concentration of all the good things that we enjoy just gets heightened. And I personally think that that is interestingly married with the fact that Kumaon, as a region within India, has huge cultural significance as being essentially the spiritual headwaters. The Ganges River and many of the other sacred rivers of India are right, their origins are right in this area. And so when I was talking to Raja Banerjee, who ran the Makai Bari Estate in Darjeeling for decades, about our project, he said, you know, Darjeeling teas are very sensual. They're very sort of ephemeral and upfront. But in Kumaon, because of this really storied tradition and culturally, you have the opportunity to help unlock the spiritual side of tea. And to me, I mean, this is like a little bit beyond what we can just taste in the cup. But wow, what an exciting prospect to be part of that story.
How will you build the brand? What aspects of the brand appeal to you? And what are you trying to bring to the consumer's attention?
Well, this has been one of the most exciting projects I've ever been a part of. Because the brand is really a blank canvas right now. And so what we're trying to do is work very closely with our farmer partners to help bring a brand that resonates both for their local culture as well as for global markets. And so our role is being bridge builders to help connect these fairly different worlds. For example, the logo that we developed, it's a kettle, and the kettle is one that you'll find in pretty much any Kumaoni household. And the mudra on it, the hand gesture that we have included, is one that is intended to be a very welcoming and inclusive one. And so, you know, going deep into the culture, working with farmer partners to make sure we're designing something that is in line with something that they'd like to celebrate, and then bringing out into the world is how we do that.
Will you describe how the Young Mountain brand has evolved due to its close ties to Kumaon?
So where we're at in our journey is working our way up the supply chain. You know, previously, we were traders buying finished goods from established factories and wonderful established factories from all over India and Nepal, but fundamentally, they were already up and running. Now we're actually taking a step further up by having co-ownership with the farmers on a factory. And that we're trying to introduce the appropriate amount of technology to advance. For example, it's going to be a solar powered factory for everything except the drying machines. We've got a color sorter that's like state of the art that'll help make sure the finished teas are really strong. And all the rolling machines and shaping and carding machines that we brought over are state of the art as well. And so the technological interventions we've had to date have been primarily in the processing realm because that's really where we are in our journey. However, one of the things that came out of our work was recognizing that in order for this to work, both for this factory to have enough tea to make and for the farmers to have enough income to support themselves, they'll have to increase their yield significantly. Because one of the biggest challenges in Kumaon is that it's incredibly low yield. And Nigel Mellican has been our consultant working with us for the last couple of years on this project. And he said in his 40 years of growing tea around the world, he's never seen yield this low. And so we're just beginning into that kind of farm level intervention. One of the things we've identified is that the amount of moisture in the soils is very low. So just 2 weeks ago, we covered a test plot with one of the farmers we worked with to cover their test plot with mulch, a mix of local cow manure and oak leaves, right before the monsoons hit. So as it rains, that water will have a way to get kind of stay inside the soil. A simple thing, but as we get involved with different interventions, we want to make sure we're not trying to maybe jump straight to the drone level because the farmers are going to be skittish about anything that's foreign. And we want things that will last and be adopted, but work with them where they're at and sort of work towards solutions that make sense. Our role is certainly to bring the options to the table and to be cognizant of things like what you're describing, but it's also to make sure that we're bringing them into the communities that we work with in a way that will both work for them in day one, and especially because this is a remote area, work in 10 years. And so the maintenance component of a lot of technological pieces is something we're very mindful of, because if we, you know, we can get a grant or something to maybe buy an initial set of tools for the farmers, but if they break down and they need to get repaired and they have to work with people from outside the area, the likelihood that those things are actually going to be used as tools and not become like props to hold up some other part of machinery is very high. It's really important that we are mindful of these things that will address the most fundamental challenges. Like as you're saying, the fact that tea is very labor intensive. So how can we reduce the labor component? We have to be up to date on them. And we have to continue to work with the farmers where they're at with what they'll be comfortable adopting, that they can afford to adopt and maintain.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.